Our next presentation, continuing the Auburn theme here this afternoon, Amber Smith, evaluation of new commercial cotton cultivars for fusarium wilt and root knot nematode resistance for 2013. Amber Smith and co-authors. Yeah, if you would please use the mouse to highlight anything if you need to.
Good afternoon, and War Eagle anyway.
Amen.
All right, so my my project focuses on fusarium wilt and cotton, mostly in Alabama. Fusarium oxysporum, Formae specialis vasinfectum, was first discovered in a cotton field in Alabama in 1892. Today it's found all over the major cotton producing areas of the world, and it also affects all four species of domesticated cotton. And it was recognized early on that there was a relationship with root knot nematode, but it's still not understood. Symptoms of fusarium wilt in cotton include vascular discoloration with a characteristic red or pink color, intervenal chlorosis that can progress to necrosis, and some of the more major symptoms are wilting, stunting, and then yield reduction and plant death. These are some pictures that whenever he was first documenting this disease in 1892, these are some of the hand drawings that he did, and this depicts the necrosis that he observed in the leaves, and this is a you can see the mycelium in the vascular tissue of the plant that he observed under the microscope. And this is a picture that I took this summer in my plots, and you can see the necrosis is virtually identical in the picture that he drew. Fusarium reproduces with microconidia and macroconidia on phyllids and spores, and it also produces chlamydospores, which is what makes this this disease so virulent, because that's how it overwinters. And the spores look like little water droplets on mycelium, and when you break open those spores, you can see the micro and the macroconidia. And the macroconidia are the little boat-shaped larger ones, and then the microconidia are the smaller dots. Symptoms of the root knot nematode in cotton include sunning and stunning of plants in a localized area, root galling on both the primary and the secondary roots. You're going to have smaller and more brittle root systems overall in the plant. Interactions between the fusarium wilt and root knot nematode is called a disease complex, and the interaction is not completely understood. And at first, it was believed to be strictly mechanical, but then we moved into thinking that it is biochemical or physiological or something other than just mechanical, because the reniform sting, lance, and lesion nematodes, they could increase the severity of wilt in cotton, but not as bad as what the root knot nematode does. So we're not sure what's going on in the interaction between the two pathogens, but something is going on to increase the severity of the fusarium wilt whenever the root knot nematode is present. In 1979, Garber did a study showing how much of an effect that the root knot nematode has on this disease. He showed that it took 77,000 conidia to produce visible symptoms in a plant, and then he showed that with only 50 nematodes present, here's the column for 50, it only took 650 spores or conidia per gram of soil to cause visible symptoms. So jumping from 77,000 conidia to only 650, you can tell how much of a drastic impact that the root knot nematode has on fusarium wilt. In 2011, there were over 4,000 bales lost, and it was over $1.7 million in damage just in Alabama. So you can kind of see how big of an impact this disease has on our cotton industry. And my project has two main objectives, and the first one being screening commercially available cotton cultivars for fusarium wilt and root knot nematode resistance and compare those to yields. And then for my second objective, I want to identify the races of fusarium oxysporum present at the E.V. Smith Research Center where I do my trial. The trial is planted in a randomized complete block in Tallahassee at the plant breeding unit. It's got four replications, and the number of varieties that are tested every year varies. This year there happen to be 12. I also use a susceptible check Rowden and a resistant check M315, and my statistics is done using a general linear mixed model in SAS, and I also use the Dunnett's p-values to compare my entries to the checks. So after planting, I do initial and final stand counts to determine the plant survivability. I do biweekly disease evaluations, as the rain would allow, to see how much wilt is present in each variety. This year I did four. I took two in July and then two in August. And my nematode sampling was done 45 days after planting, and I took whole root systems and extracted the eggs from the roots to determine the root knot egg counts. The diseased plants for objective two, identifying the races present. The diseased plants that I took from the wilt evaluations were kept, and I kept them separated by plot, and then I cut the hypocotyl, which is the main location of the fungus in the plant, cut the hypocotyl away from the root and the stem systems, and then surface sterilized the outside of the stem. And then I cut away the epidermis from the cortex of the stem and isolated just the fungus that was present in the vascular tissue of the stem. And I isolated it onto half-strength acidified potato dextrose auger. And the DNA will be extracted with a kit. And the kit, the DNA will be identified using biotype, will be identified with PCR as described by Kim in 2009 using the primers that he used. And then I'll compare to see what races are present in the field. The results for objective one are separated into three different parts. There's wilt percentages, egg production factors, and yield. And for the wilt percentage, the susceptible Czech Rowden has almost 12% wilt average. The resistant Czech had about 0.9%, and there were seven varieties that were statistically similar to M315 that had lower wilt percentages. And my wilt for 2013 was relatively low. My eggs per gram of root fresh weight is how I measured the egg reproduction factors. The susceptible Czech Rowden had 510 eggs per gram of root fresh weight, and the resistant Czech M315 had 86. And there were two varieties that were similar to M315, which is the resistant Czech, and both of those had 111 eggs per gram of root fresh weight. For yield, we measured in pounds per acre. The susceptible Czech Rowden had 1,963 pounds per acre. The resistant Czech had 2,994 pounds per acre. And there were three varieties that were statistically higher than Rowden. The first one being Fibromax 1944. It averaged 5,300 pounds per acre. It had the lowest wilt percentage of all the varieties. It tied with another variety for 0.3% wilt on average. And it had 111 root knot nematode eggs per gram of root fresh weight, which was also the lowest number of root knot eggs, but it was still higher than the resistant Czech. Phytogen 499 was our second highest yielding variety with just over 4,800 pounds of seed cotton yield. The average wilt percentage, that's a typo, it's 0.9%. The average wilt percentage was 0.9%. It was ranked third in the lowest number of root knot nematode eggs, and it had 183 eggs per gram of root fresh weight. The third highest yielding variety was Phytogen 399, and it yielded just over 4,700 pounds per acre. It had tied with the first variety with the lowest wilt percentage with 0.3%. However, Phytogen 339 had 681 eggs per gram of root fresh weight, which was higher than the susceptible Czech. Now, the reason it was able to yield so high, in my opinion, is because it has a tolerance to the nematode, which can cause problems if you're going to be rotating crops. So to apply all these results in an economical standpoint, you can look at your gross income that you would, on paper, be making. Your susceptible Czech Rowden with 1,963 pounds at 40% lint, you would be making $667 per acre. And with M315, you would make just over $1,000 an acre. And with Fibromax, the highest yielding variety, you would make just over $1,800 per acre. And with Phytogen 499, which was the second highest, you would make $1,600 an acre. And then Phytogen 339, you could make just over $1,600 an acre. So you can see that variety selection is very important whenever you compare the highest yielding varieties with just the Czechs. Even the resistant Czech, you could make $800 more an acre of gross income. The results for objective two are still ongoing. A variety of races have been found in the field so far, we have races 2, 3, 4, and 8 that are the most common. However, this is taken from Rebecca Bennett's paper from last year. This is a genetics tree showing the difference between the race 4 found in Alabama and the race 4 found in California. Now, the reason that I bring up California's race 4 is that because it's much more virulent than the race 4 that's found here in the southeast. And when you compare with the EF1 alpha primers, the race 4s are genetically similar. But whenever you use an intergenic spacer primer, which is nuclear DNA, they're proven to be distinct and they're two different races. And they cause different levels of pathogenicity whenever they're tested. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions.
You took stand data, initial stand and final stand. Did your stand reduction correlate with your wilt incidence or wilt severity?
I haven't done any correlations, but if I had to guess, I would say yes. Because if you have higher wilt, you're going to have more plant death. And I know in the...
But that's the question.
Yeah.
Did you have more plant death?
Yes.
Because that's a big determinant on yield.
Yes. There were some varieties that were just wiped out.
And would that be why some of your susceptible varieties yielded well? Because they didn't have much stand loss? Where are those two actually connected?
I don't know. I haven't done any correlation. Yeah. But I can do that. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Was the soil inoculated at all?
It's naturally infected. It's, the reason we obtain that test site is because it's so highly infected, naturally, with nematodes and wilt.
What are the challenges in trying to screen for resistance of the complex?
Of the complex?
In other words, oftentimes we evaluate resistance for a given disease. And you've got a complex, you've got multiple pathogens. What are the challenges in doing that?
Well, one of the challenges is are both pathogens present? And that's the reason that we do the screening in the field in Calgary, because both of those pathogens are naturally present.
And if you have resistance to either one of those pathogens, you disrupt the complex, I assume?
The pathogen complex works hand in hand, because if the wilt is higher, or the wilt percentage is higher if the nematode numbers are higher. So if you have lower nematode numbers, you're probably going to have lower wilt numbers. Because the fusarium pathogen uses the nematode wound in the root system. That's how it gains entry into the plant.
If you have a variety that is showing tolerance, mm-hmm. and you continue to use this variety that is still tolerant, even though it may be building up your nematode situation, is there evidence that in the future you may have problems with that tolerant variety?
I haven't seen it yet, but I don't imagine how if the population kept growing that the variety wouldn't eventually reach a threshold where it's not going to yield anymore. So the problem, if you keep building up the levels of nematodes, you're eventually going to reach a point where your variety is not going to be tolerant anymore. It's not going to yield. I don't know how long it will take, but it will eventually get there.
You talked about your race structure in your test site. Mm-hmm. What's the spatial distribution of the isolation frequency of those different races from your test location? Did that have a confounding effect with regard to the results you observed in your field study?
Yeah, so we haven't finished testing before, so this is my first year doing the testing myself, so I don't have the whole answer to that question. But I think that it will be different. I don't know if the varieties are going to react differently to different races yet. I haven't got that far. I'll probably try to implement that next. That's one of my ideas to test next year, to try to keep up with the variety and what races. So I don't know the answer to that question yet, but it's something that I'm trying to work towards in my second year of the project.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.